Good morning. You're listening to 88.7 WHCL-FM, Clinton, New York. I'm your host, Pete Bianco, and the show is titled The Ringer, and you can listen to it every Wednesday. So my guest this morning is Dr. Selman, naturopathic doctor, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I've got interested in your work because you talk a lot about hormones, and I've been hearing about how this relates to menopause recently, and I also have a concern about how it relates to bone health or osteoporosis. So where would you like to begin?
I think you know, as someone who has been involved with women's health for many decades and continually researching the truth, that's really what got me started on this. So maybe I can start with my journey and how I got to this subject and why it has become such a passion of mine.
Sure.
As I travel, you know, around the world and write and lecture. First of all, in my early 40s, I started to experience a range of symptoms in my life. And it started out was getting arthritis in my fingers. I always suffered from really chronic hay fever. I had bouts of depression throughout my life. I always had irregular menstrual cycles. I was, even as many young girls, I was put on the pill to help regulate my menstrual cycle when I was in high school, and continued to have problems over the years. And it all kind of started to, you know, kind of come to a head in my early 40s. So it was the hay fever. I had eczema. I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease of the thyroid called Hashimoto's thyroiditis. So, all these things were going on. And all of a sudden, in addition to all of that, I was getting insomnia. I was waking up with anxiety attacks about 3 or 4 a.m. in the morning. And then I started getting these night sweats. So it was a disaster. I couldn't sleep. I didn't know what was going on. It felt like my body was falling apart, and I needed to get answers. And that began my journey in seeking to find answers to what was going on with my body. And I started to investigate what would help with the hormones, because they were the most pressing issues. Those other conditions, you just tend to live with things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take your antihistamines when you have bad allergies, and you take your pain medication if you have a painful period. But the insomnia that was going on and the anxiety attacks really caught my attention.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I really didn't know much about hormones. I didn't know much about my body at that time. I was a psychotherapist. And it began the most fascinating journey that unraveled the mystery for me, resolved all those symptoms. In fact, I've healed every one of those conditions, and made me so aware about what was going on with my body and how women were being treated for these conditions and the side effects and the risks and dangers, that I began to write about it. And by the way, all the solutions I found were from a natural approach. I didn't use any medications. In fact, they generally worsened my condition and generated more of the underlying imbalances. So that's really my story.
And how did you know that the anxiety and the insomnia were related to the hormones?
Well, good question, because at first I didn't know. So at that point I was, you know, quote-unquote, a really successful therapist. I was working 48 weekends out of the year. I was working, 8-10 hours a day, teaching at night. You know, it's our culture's definition of success. But it took a huge toll on my body, as I've come to realize. And when the anxiety attacks started to appear, I was a psychotherapist practicing, and I obviously thought it had to do with some emotional issues, some psychological event. And I went to a lot of therapists trying to sort out what was driving this, because at that time and to this very day, we still perceive anxiety as a psychological condition. And it isn't, by the way. It really isn't. I mean, there may be stresses, and we certainly all have our stresses from one source or another, but the cause of those stresses on our body is what's generating the anxiety. It's a symptom of the consequences of stress. Now, I didn't know this at the time. All I knew was I could not sleep. I was, you know, in knots in my stomach. What happened coincidentally was I started to get these night sweats, and that's what put me on the track of hormones. When I addressed the night sweats from a natural, holistic perspective, I discovered to my amazement that the anxiety attacks and the insomnia also disappeared, and they were related and are, in fact, very related.
And how did you begin to treat the night sweats?
Well, when I began to, first of all, realize that this was a hormonal condition, I started to read more information about natural hormones. And what I discovered was that the delicate balance that we as women have is between two key hormones. Actually, there are more hormones that come into play, but the very beginning for me was understanding the relationship between progesterone and estrogen. Now, these are hormones that are partners. They dance together, and they have to be in proper balance in order for the body to function, in order for a woman to have fertility and to be able to maintain a pregnancy. All of these hormones have to be harmonious. And what's happening in our society, what's happening in our culture due to stress and food and exposure to contaminants, to toxins, to medications, it's altering this delicate balance. And it's altering the delicate balance in favor of higher levels of estrogen and lower levels of progesterone. Now, this is a condition called estrogen excess or estrogen dominance. When these hormones are in balance, the body just purrs along and everything is working optimally in a woman's life. When they are out of balance, and the tendency in our society is that women are estrogen dominant, young women, if women are suffering from PMS and endometriosis and ovarian cysts and polycystic ovarian syndrome, painful periods, I mean, any condition that really women are addressing has a component of estrogen dominance all the way through to menopause. Because when estrogen is out of balance, is excessive in relationship to progesterone, estrogen, which is a vital hormone, starts to exhibit symptoms that are deleterious to your health. For instance, estrogen excess can increase inflammatory conditions. It can impair the thyroid. It can increase the risk of strokes and blood clots. It can put weight on. It can affect your memory. It can create fluid retention. It can create anger and frustration feelings. You know, the list goes on and on. So many of the conditions that women are dealing with are related to estrogen gone wild, so to speak. And that was my experience. So when I was having the symptoms of night sweats, which really is a condition of low progesterone, high estrogen, the insomnia, low progesterone, high estrogen will generate insomnia. It will certainly create anxiety. Anxiety, I have to say, and this is how I treat all my patients now as a naturopathic doctor, and when I learned this even as a psychotherapist, and I combine them both right now, anxiety to me is, and for that matter, insomnia as well, but for sure, anxiety and panic attacks are always a sign of adrenal exhaustion. We are under so much stress that our poor little adrenals, which are really the foundation for helping to balance hormones and blood sugar control and memory and immune system, are getting exhausted. And when the adrenals are out of balance, the symptoms are anxiety, fatigue, insomnia, and a range of other things, as well as hormonal imbalances.
when you're talking about having too much estrogen, I had heard about the number 7 plastic having an estrogen mimicking effect on the body. Do you think that it's things like that that are contributing to it, or is it more that people who are getting the adrenal fatigue, they're does that make your body produce more estrogen, or how is it more complicated than that?
Well, let's go through the list of things, because that's a really good question, and it takes some explanation. So first of all, what is upsetting the stellate balance? The most sensitive barometer in a woman's body reflecting her health is her hormonal balance. And the first thing to go offline, if she is out of balance, if she is nutritionally depleted, if she is stressed, if she's toxic, will be her reproductive system. So it is very sensitive, it is very delicate, and the body, because it doesn't need that system for its survival, will, if conditions are right, kind of shut it down or reduce its effectiveness. So the things that impact the hormones to go out of balance, first of all, I'd say, would be nutrition. So when we are eating junk foods, when we're eating a lot of carbs, when we are eating high amounts of sugar, all these foods actually will result in high estrogen levels in the body. All these foods can turn into fat, and when you have excess fat, the fat cells actually are making estrogen themselves. Your fat cells are little factories for estrogen.
Is this true for men as well?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Which is why when men start on weight, and 2/3 of Americans are overweight or obese, even 10 pounds over our ideal weight will start generating chemicals by the fat. So if we're just going to take a little side tour here, the visceral fat, this excess fat, especially around the middle, is not only a little factory that's making estrogen, it's a little factory that's making inflammatory chemicals, which are being produced. So our fat is not just little blubber that's hanging out there, it's actually the most active metabolic organ in our body producing effects and consequences. In women, it adds to this excess of estrogen, and in men, it's creating an excess of estrogen as well. In men, it can show up as more feminized features. It's this, you know, this phenomenon called man boobs. It's actually being stimulated by estrogen, but the most serious thing for men is that high estrogen levels drives an enlarged prostate and puts a man at risk of prostate cancer, mm-hmm. because prostate cancer is driven by estrogen. So that's really an important point, and I'm glad you brought that up. So we have to look at our diet, because anything that's putting on weight, anything that's generating malnutrition in women, because if you're not eating a nutritious diet, I mean, I remember what it was like when I was at the university and eating university foods and those long nights of studying and, you know, having coffee and candy and, you know, alcohol, and that diet is just the most disastrous thing. And in women, it shows up with PMS, and then they start getting endometriosis and ovarian cysts, and, you know, painful periods, which is always a sign that the liver is really being stressed. if, you know, these things don't magically correct themselves unless we make changes. So we have to look at diet. So diet is a major driver of putting hormones out of balance. Then we have exposure to chemicals. And you mentioned the bisphenol A that's found in not just plastic bottles. It's mostly found in the bottles that have a little one on the bottom of those bottles. And that's all those water bottles, the soda bottles, but it's also found in the lining of tin cans. And bisphenol A is a chemical that is in that lining. So if you eat food out of tin cans, or, you know, and who knows, whether it's in a restaurant, in a cafeteria, at school, or just, you know, what people are preparing for themselves, there's bisphenol A. And studies were shown that people who ate more junk food had higher levels of bisphenol A. And bisphenol A actually is an estrogen-like chemical. So bisphenol A, however you get it into your body, and we're all getting it into our bodies, is having its effect not only as an estrogen mimic, and many, by the way, many chemicals in our environment, and many drugs, even drugs like antidepressants, are having an effect in driving estrogen levels up. They actually can impair our thyroid and can lead to all sorts of hormonal imbalances, driving estrogen. The end result is they all drive estrogen up. Are serious problems. By the way, bisphenol A is a hazard to girls and also to young boys, driving early puberty, creating all sorts of early reproductive problems in young girls, also in young boys, and it also is a driver for insulin resistance, which is contributing to being overweight and obesity. And that's just one chemical that is ubiquitous in our environment. So we have the exposure to the environmental factors that are hormone disruptors. Then we have what we were talking about earlier, the consequences of stress. And when a person is under stress and you are exhausting the adrenals or at least driving them hard, you are raising your cortisol levels. And cortisol level is your long-term stress hormone. And cortisol level has the effect of blocking your progesterone receptors, of impairing your thyroid receptors, so you can't make progesterone, which balances estrogen, and you can't make your thyroid hormone. And when your thyroid is out of balance, it's also going to raise estrogen levels. So, you know, we're caught in this vicious cycle of so many lifestyle and dietary factors that are contributing to these hormones going out of balance. And, you know, what happens when a woman has painful periods or missing periods or has endometriosis or has, you know, a variety of problems? She goes to her doctor, and her doctor will tell her to do one thing, and that is to go on the pill or the Mirena IUD, not for birth control, but to help manage hormones. So now we're putting synthetic hormones that they're for a birth control pill to work, you have to have higher levels of hormones than you would, that equates the hormone levels at pregnancy, of synthetic drugs that are known human carcinogens that deplete the body of key vitamins and minerals and essential fatty acids and amino acids. That's driving a woman's body to go more out of balance. So we get into a vicious cycle, and women get stuck if you just rely on someone to give you a prescription for something to try to address all of the painful symptoms and issues going on with your hormones. It's not the answer, and it's not the way out of a problem that can only get worse if it's not healed at the root cause level.
I've heard that SSRIs increase cortisol levels, but what about something like Xanax? Does that affect hormones or estrogen?
Well, you know, I investigated Xanax when I was a psychotherapist because I saw so many patients really suffering. So what I want to say with Xanax is that Xanax is an addictive drug. Within 2 weeks of taking Xanax or any of those Valium-like drugs, you are addicted. And what that means is that when you try to cut back on the drug, the symptoms come back with a vengeance. So you're going through withdrawal, which most people do not understand. So their insomnia gets worse, their agitation gets worse, and the only thing that's really going to help is to get back on the Xanax. But the thing about these types of drugs is that unless you increase the dose, you're going through continual withdrawal. Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah.
So if you stay at the same dose all the time, they lose its effectiveness. And then you go through withdrawal. So then you get insomnia, and then you feel anxious. You go, oh, gosh, you know, I really need it. And not understanding it's a symptom of withdrawal. For it to work, you have to continually increase doses, which, of course, no one ever does. So everyone's always going through these withdrawal symptoms thinking they need them and can't live without them. If it's taken intermittently, just once in a blue moon, it's not going to be addictive. But if you take it continuously for 2 weeks, you are addicted. And what that basically is doing is blocking and impairing your natural neurotransmitters, particularly GABA. And GABA is a neurotransmitter that is your natural Valium. When you're under stress, you are depleting your GABA levels. So that's why stress, amongst its many consequences, from cortisol, from the hormone made by the adrenal glands, under stress, your GABA is being used up. So women get anxious and they get panicky and they just feel that feeling in the pit of the stomach. And it's not just women, by the way, but women are more vulnerable to this than men. And it's so these the Valium-like drugs are working on this GABA pathway, but they're using it up and they're blocking it. So when people are experiencing these symptoms of anxiety, what they really should be reaching for is a GABA supplement. There's some fantastic products out there that, and I take them personally all the time. I live a really, you know, active life. I have tons of things I'm doing, so it's easy to get into stress and overwhelm. And I always know when I am needing GABA because I am feeling anxious. It's like getting into that overwhelmed place, too many things to do. Oh, my God, how am I going to do them all? So I can take a neurotransmitter supplement, GABA, or another option that works in the same matter is a supplement made from green tea called L-theanine. And L-theanine, which is spelled T-H-E-A-N-I-N-E, L-theanine is in the form of a supplement. There are teas with it. It's very common. It's used in Japan as one of the most preferred over-the-counter natural supplement to deal with stress in the Japanese culture. It is safe, non-toxic, non-habit-forming, but it's getting to the root cause of why we're feeling anxious. You know, I wish I knew this all those years ago when I was experiencing, you know, insomnia and my anxiety attacks at night. What this journey has led me to was an understanding of these neurotransmitters, and I was depleted in my GABA, which creates anxiety and insomnia. So I take a GABA supplement. Sometimes I take it before I go to bed at night because it just lets you have deep relaxation. That's what that neurotransmitter does. That's why it lets you just get back into a place where stress rolls off your back, you're not agitated, and you're just calm again and in the moment.
So for someone who has taken Xanax for a long time, maybe 10 years or more, what effect is that having on the on your hormone levels on a long-term basis?
Well, ultimately, it will drive everything out of balance, but I have to caution people. And I also want to bring in the SSRIs, because SSRIs are interfering with your serotonin pathway, which is another natural antidepressant neurotransmitter the body makes. And serotonin also converts into melatonin. So the consequences of SSRIs, which I just am so worried about the widespread use of SSRIs, and I've recently heard reports that, you know, the use of antidepressants are just going up and up and up. Antidepressants are addictive as well. Antidepressants and Xanax and these Valium-like drugs are never to be gone off cold turkey. Never, never, never. In fact, with drugs like, both of them, they have to be weaned off very, very slowly. I mean, in some cases with things like Xanax, you shave off little bits. You have to wean off very carefully. I always recommend that people who are weaning off of them work under the care of either a knowledgeable doctor, if you can find one, or a good, you know, naturopath, acupuncturist, integrative medical doctor, people who understand how to help people transition and rebalance these delicate systems in the brain and in the body. The problems with SSRIs is that they interfere with the production of serotonin. It's called selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. So it's making use of the little bit of serotonin that we are making. So it's like recycling, but by doing that, it's stopping a downstream effect. And the downstream effect naturally is to help produce melatonin, which is to help you sleep, and help produce other neurochemicals that let you have deep, meaningful, healthy dreams. So the problem with SSRIs, it can create nightmares because it's impairing the metabolism of serotonin. It creates insomnia. And, you know, the most basic side effects of SSRIs listed in the list of side effects include insomnia, depression, anxiety, and loss of libido, because it's all these drugs are impairing these delicate pathways that affect all these things. The more serious side effects have to do with nightmares, with suicidal ideations, sometimes actually acting it out, and also homicidal activities. It has a profound effect. Every single one of those shooters, that either in school shooters or mass murders that take place, are people who've been on some sort of psychiatric drug. Just an SSRI can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very concerned about them, because we're never healing at the root cause. We have natural solutions for depression. You know, we can easily resolve depression with a combination of dietary, nutritional support, supplements, natural supplements, some lifestyle changes. That's true for anxiety. I've been there, I've done it, so I know it's possible. And in my practice, I see it happening to the patients I work with if they're willing to take responsibility for their health.
I've heard Alex Gray, he had talked about using trace minerals for anxiety. He said in about 2 weeks of taking these trace elements that people would be able to experience reduced anxiety. Is that something that you have any familiarity with?
Well, let me just say, because of the diet we're eating, because of the soils from which our food is grown, everybody is severely mineral depleted. And then if you take pharmaceutical drugs, they deplete minerals as well. You know, the pill, for instance, because that's so widely used for so many things in women, the pill depletes vitamin E, vitamin C, magnesium, zinc, B6, B12, folic acid. It depletes tyrosine, amino acid necessary for your thyroid. It wipes out your gut flora like you were taking an antibiotic, and if you don't have healthy gut flora, you can't absorb and assimilate your nutrition. So we're suffering from a major depletion of minerals. And without minerals, our adrenals can't function, our thyroid can't function. You know, you need minerals for, you know, all the enzymatic reactions in the body. In order for your vitamins to be absorbed and taken into the cells, the precursors are minerals. So I would agree. Minerals are really critical.
When you had your hormone levels tested initially, what did those levels look like when you were experiencing all of your problems?
So let me address that point, because that's really a critical point. The classical way women go and get their hormones tested is to go to the doctor, who will take a blood test. Now, that is done across the board. It's the blood test, and from the blood test, the doctor will then make an assessment and prescribe a recommended protocol or drug treatment. But here's the problem. Blood tests do not give you adequate levels. The results of blood tests do not give you the adequate levels of hormones in your tissues. You're basically, through a blood test, looking at hormones that have already been metabolized and on their way out of the body. It's not an accurate picture of what is going on with your hormones. The only test that really has been proven accurate, and the World Health Organization acknowledges it, it's FDA approved, is a saliva test, because the saliva is giving an up-to-minute picture of what really is happening in the tissue levels. So you need to get a saliva test. Now, that's a problem if you go to a traditional medical doctor. They don't know about saliva tests. They don't have any training in saliva tests. All their work is done through a pathology lab that is based on blood tests. So we're in trouble right there, because generally I find if women go and get their blood tests done, their blood test will show oh my God, you know, you're really low in these hormones, you're low in estrogen, you need hormone replacement therapy, look at this, this is a problem. And in actual fact, if they got a saliva test, it would show that their levels were normal or high. So this is very dangerous if you're relying on a blood test, especially that's a test that, you know, perimenopausal women and menopausal women have done all the time. It's dangerous because you will get misdiagnosed and thus you will get mistreated. And if your hormone levels are really normal or high, but on the blood test it appears that they're low and you're put on estrogen, now you're driving estrogen that may already be high into excessive levels, and one of the drivers of breast cancer is high estrogen levels.
Mm.
So it could be very, very serious and a big mistake. I see this all the time in my practice.
Are you familiar with the Direct Labs website?
No.
I guess this is a website where you can order a test, you know, different types of tests, and then you bring it to your local blood drawing place, and you pay for it through the internet, and you bring this with you, and then you can, they send your blood directly to these labs. But anyway,
right. There are ways to do the test on your own, but the tricky bit is, first of all, interpreting it, mm-hmm. and what do you do about it? Because, you know, the results from a lab test are symptoms. You know, there's symptoms of underlying imbalances. As a naturopathic doctor, the fundamental, you know, the kind of belief, the fundamental tenet of our modalities is that we are healing at the root cause level. So if you're going to get blood workup, that's great. It's showing you that, you know, what's going on in your body. It's not showing you the cause, and it's not necessarily telling you if your cholesterol's out of balance, you need a statin drug. You need to address what the underlying imbalance is that is creating some disturbance going on in the body that's showing up. You also need to know, in the case of hormones, that you don't want to be taking a blood test. You want to be taking a saliva test, and you also need to find a really informed practitioner who can guide you to interpret the results and heal the body that's out of balance if that shows up, so you can restore optimal health and well-being, which can never be done through pharmaceutical drugs, which are designed to make adjustments in the physiology, but not to heal.
And so how do you determine if, when shopping around for a new doctor, who has the modality that would understand these underlying causes?
Well, that's always the challenge, isn't it? There are organizations. There's functional medicine organization. There's holistic medical association. There's associations for naturopathic doctors, associations for chiropractors, for homeopaths, for herbalists. So that's always one place to go and get referrals. I always suggest, if you have a local health food store in your neighborhood, to go there, because those people generally know who are the treasured practitioners in the area. You know, their customers will give them referrals. They generally are more knowledgeable. As always, it's finding an informed person. It's finding someone who operates with the, you know, the on the same wavelength as you are,
mm-hmm.
and someone who has, you know, has proven results. And I just tell people, you know, ask around, see who is referred by, you know, colleagues or friends or people like, you know, the health shop owner who may have more of a knowledge of who's around in the community.
Right.
You know, that's part of the, you know, the tricky part of finding the right practitioners.
I just took you on a bit of a sidetrack, but so once you get your saliva tests, then what levels are you looking at, and what do those levels mean?
Well, you know, It's not just about, so saliva test will, let me just say, when I do a saliva test, and by the way, I do phone consultations. I work with people all over the world. So it's nice to know you don't have to be limited in the neighborhood you're in to work with people. I'm not the only one who is available for phone consultations. Many of the practitioners are serving their patients long distance. But when the saliva test that I use is a very comprehensive test. So first thing we look at are your cortisol levels, and your cortisol levels are the indicator of your adrenal health. And you do it over a 24-hour period. So there are four saliva samples that are taken throughout the day. Cortisol has a very specific pattern. It should be high in the morning. If your cortisol is working well, because cortisol is what helps you get up and go and gives you energy to get through the day and energizing your cells and, you know, getting your blood sugar working and getting your immune system on track and in action. It does so many important things. And it should be highest in the morning, so you should be jumping out of bed full of energy. That's one of the first signs that you have a healthy adrenal gland. There's another sign, by the way, that your adrenals are getting really, really out of balance. And that's if you get the second wind late at night. I always tell my patients and in my lectures, you know, are you one of those people who is the late night owl? Are you up, maybe drag yourself through the day, and suddenly 8, 9 o'clock, now you're on a roll, energy is going, and you're up to 11, 12, 1 o'clock? That is a sure sign your adrenals are under attack. Because the natural rhythm of cortisol, it should be highest in the morning, and as the day progresses, it gets lower and lower and lower until at night it is at the lowest level, because now your energy level should naturally be winding down so you can get into the sleep cycle, which is the cycle of repair and rejuvenation and regeneration. The daytime cycle is when we have all these metabolic functions in action. At night is when we repair and rejuvenate. And cortisol level that is too high at night will keep you revved up, keep your brain engaged. It's like your foot is on the accelerator, and that leads to insomnia and imbalance in your blood sugar levels, so you're awakened at night because everything is out of whack. So that's the first thing that is important to look at. In fact, I consider that the most important hormone to look at, because everything else is actually a consequence of those adrenal glands. So we look at the adrenals, then I look at the three different estrogens. We have estradiol, estrone, and estriol. I look at progesterone. I look at DHEA, which is another hormone made by the adrenals, should be in balance with cortisol in a certain ratio. I look at testosterone, and I look at the ratio. So it's not just the individual hormones, it's the ratio, it's the balance, it's the dance that they do with each other. So you can't just look at single values. You have to see them in relationship to each other. And the other thing I look at in my saliva testing is I look at the health of your immune system in your gut. 80% or so of our immune system is in our digestive tract. That's ruled by the adrenals and the cortisol. And I also look at things like if you have gluten sensitivity, and we can even, on the saliva test I work with, look at whether you are showing up with symptoms of H. pylori, which is a bacteria in the stomach, very common, and a candida. So it's very comprehensive. We get a picture, but it's so hard to answer the question, what should the numbers be, because it's about ratios and relationships and getting, it's like you're getting pieces of a puzzle and you have to put the pattern together along with the symptoms of the patient and the history of the patient. That's the art of really creating that picture that then can assist you in guiding the person to get their body back in balance. You know, everything affects our hormones, our stress levels, our nutritional status, the health of our gut, whether we are overweight. You know, being overweight can put those hormones into the estrogen excess level, can create more inflammation through the body, can be impacting our gut flora and our digestive tract. You know, it's like everything affects everything. So you have to work with practitioners who have this model. The medical doctors are known as functional medicine doctors or integrative medical doctors. They are trained in understanding this integrative approach that you have to heal at the root cause levels. That's the innate training of chiropractors, naturopaths, herbalists, and homeopaths. And medical doctors are starting to get back into that training. You cannot heal somebody by just looking at a test and giving them a drug that is going to supposedly correct a number on a blood workup.
And how do you test for healthy gut flora?
There's no real test for healthy gut flora. Generally, what people test for, you can do a stool test to look at what's going on, what's in your gut, whether there are whether it's candida or parasites or things like that. Like the saliva test that I do, we look at candida and H. pylori. You can go by symptoms. If you have bloating, if you have constipation, if you have flatulence, if you have pain after you eat, if you've been on a course of antibiotics or contraceptives or steroids, you have a gut problem. I usually just go by symptoms because it's pretty classical. If you're dealing with an autoimmune disease, one of the classical signs showing me that I had serious gut issues was when I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, because all autoimmune diseases start in your digestive tract with inflammation, and most inflammation in the digestive tract has to do with, impaired gut flora and exposure to toxins, drugs that are affecting the gut, long-term stress that affects the gut. See how all these things are connected? And unless you have the model of the world that helps you understand how to correct and heal these underlying systems and functions, you will never bring the body back to optimal health. And that's my goal. That's really what I am assisting my patients with, is optimal health. We need to address what is impairing or impinging upon the body's ability to have optimal health at any age. I started as a psychotherapist, wrote my book, Hormone Heresy, What Women Must Know About Their Hormones, which is the journey that I went through and what I uncovered and what I got angry about, because I felt women were being so misdiagnosed and mistreated. So I wrote that book. I've written three other books since then, and went on, became a naturopathic doctor. So now I'm 63, and I have to, about to be 64, and I have to say that I have no symptoms of any condition going on in my body. Everything I had when I was in my 20s, 30s, and 40s, and 50s has been healed. No longer autoimmune disease, no longer thyroid, no longer adrenal exhaustion, no longer eczema, no allergies, no chronic hay fever, no arthritis, no energy slumps. I'm healthier now than I was when I was younger because I have been 100% committed to attaining optimal health and healing at the root cause level. And you can do that at any age.
Let me just take a moment. We've got 14 minutes left, so if anyone's out there listening who would like to call in with a question, the phone number here is 315-859-4200. That's 315-859-4200. And if someone calls in while I'm asking you the next question, I will politely interrupt you to take their call.
Oh, sure. I hope we get calls because we all learn through calls.
I just was wondering, what autoimmune disease did you have that you were able to? And before I finish this question, I'll take a call. One moment.
I'll answer really quickly. Arthritis, which is an autoimmune disease, and Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is the most common form of a sluggish hypothyroid condition.
Thank you very much. There's two questions for you. The first question is about soy, and there's a seems to be a very seems to be very pervasive in our food system right now. But could you talk about that as it then as it relates to other cultures where they're very heavy in soy?
Okay, we have a big problem with soy because I would say 80% of the soy that is used in everything is genetically modified, and serious problems are showing up from genetically modified foods to our health. It's altering our gut flora, and it's causing a lot of chronic problems. So that's a big problem right there. But here's the truth about soy. Unless it's in a fermented form, which is basically miso, tempeh, natto, maybe some fermented soy and tamari, it's an indigestible food. It's a food that impairs thyroid function. It has, if you're gluten intolerant, gluten sensitive, you'll also have a similar inflammatory reaction to soy. It inhibits the absorption of minerals. So the only form of soy that should be taken on an ongoing basis, and in some cases never, is a fermented version of soy. That's the kind of food they used in Asia. So we've been sold a bill of goods about soy. It has infiltrated our diet. The GMO form is definitely pervasive, and it's a big mistake. So the truth about soy, you know, as a food, is that it should only be fermented, and that's what the Asians ate. They never ate unfermented soy nuts, soy flour, soy this, soy that, soy milk. I mean, a little bit soy milk, but mostly fermented, and be very cautious, and it can create high estrogen levels, can impair thyroid function, and inhibit the absorption of minerals. So not a food you want to be eating a lot of in your diet.
Mm-hmm. And the second question has to do with what types of let me just hold that question because I have another call. I'm going to finish with the first question, and then I'll ask you the new question.
Great.
What types of meat would you recommend are good for people to eat, but also accessible to people? So I think that the question is, if you want to get farm-raised meat, maybe that it's going to be more expensive. So how can people?
Well, look, this is a dilemma, isn't it? Because if you want high-quality, clean, nutritional meat, if we're talking about protein, you have to go for organic and grass-fed. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, if you want that, you do the best you can, because the if we're talking about the commercially grown protein meat sources, the beef, the chicken, the turkeys, whatever you're doing, they're put on all these antibiotics. Arsenic is a growth promoter in chickens. That's getting into the feeds, getting into their
wow.
bodies. Who knows what it's doing for us? Antibiotics, the most antibiotics, you know, the millions of doses that are used in this country are used in cattle. And that's all in the food. I mean, it's in the meat, it's in their bodies. So clean food is absolutely critical. They're also, I was just listening the other day, they're spraying types of viruses on meat to protect them from overgrowth of bacteria. I mean, there's so much stuff going on that's destroying the quality and the safety of food as a healthy, nutritious food source. I can tell you that grass-fed beef is a totally different nutritional status of feedlot beef. The fat is laid down differently. It's not marbled because it shouldn't be marbled, and it's a very different nutritional status. So all I can say to people is do the best you can. You know, you don't need to eat a huge steak for a meal. You can just, in fact, protein should be about, you know, if you're looking at both your hands, it should be no more than the size of your palm, and the rest of the two hands should be your vegetables. Mm. So, you know, find your local farmer, support them. It does make a difference, the quality of the meat you eat, the nutritional status and the cleanliness. You know, they're irradiating our food. They're doing all sorts of horrible things to it, feeding cattle GMO, you know, soy. it's a deterioration and a destruction of our food source. So we have to be proactive, and I think we need to support our local farmers.
Thank you very much. Now, the other question is for people that have a really slow start in the morning, and then they start revving up at, you know, as night falls and they get their second wind. What does someone who has that condition, what do they do to begin to correct that?
Okay, so let me make two distinctions. If you wake up in the morning and you're dragging and you're really tired, and then as the morning goes on, you know, maybe a couple hours, you find yourself getting your little mojo back, then that's more a thyroid, a dominant thyroid condition. Okay, that's like the priority is to address the thyroid. Mm. If you wake up in the morning and you're exhausted, and you kind of get exhausted throughout the day, you kind of feel like you're just dragging, and then that evening you get that second wind, you're predominantly adrenally exhausted. If you are, you wake up kind of okay, and then mid-afternoon you get a slump, you know, or maybe mid-morning you get a slump, you probably have issues with your adrenals because your blood sugar level is dropping too low, and the adrenals help regulate your blood sugar. Or you've eaten something that you have an allergy to, because if you, for instance, are gluten sensitive and you have a lot of bread for lunch, it can create this whole inflammatory response, which sets the body into like overdrive, and the adrenals are going, and you know, ultimately will weaken your body and you'll get tired. So there are different things going on. If you want to support your adrenals, first of all, you've got to give up your sugar. You've got to get to bed between 10 and 11. You need to get a good adrenal support formula, which you can find at the health food store. The adrenals require more vitamin C than any other organ in the body, so make sure you're taking adequate amount of vitamin C, but you definitely need an adrenal support formula that includes vitamins, minerals, herbs to really help support those adrenals. You don't want to miss meals because the adrenals help balance blood sugar levels, so you've got to keep them going. Make sure you get good protein and fats along with your vegetables. Cut out your junk food and your sugars and, you know, the sodas. So it's those are some basic guidelines for anyone dealing with any health issue.
Now, when you say to cut out your sugars, I know that could be that statement can be alarming to people. So, do you mean cut it out completely or cut back? And if so, how much?
Well, not to alarm your listeners. Let's just say cut back. But what the truth of the matter is sugar drives hormonal imbalances, drives inflammation, drives pain, drives diabetes, drives depression, drives anxiety. You know, you name the problem and it's driven by sugar. So here's the good news. These are the sugar options that are healing to the body. Either find yourself a good stevia source. You know, the stevia comes as powders, which is a plant. It doesn't raise your blood sugar. It's great for diabetics, it doesn't feed candida, which is a yeast that comes from an overgrowth from antibiotics and steroids and birth control pills.
Can you hold that thought? I have one more call.
Okay, but I want to say the other
sure.
one real quick before I forget. It's stevia and xylitol, which is X-Y-L-I-T-O-L, xylitol. These are healthy sweeteners. Xylitol looks like sugar, tastes like sugar, one-to-one in sweetness, and is healing to the body. Those are our options. We don't have to give up sugar, just the toxic sugars.
Thank you. Okay, another question is another doctor who is an endocrinologist had mentioned that adrenal fatigue is a pseudo-diagnosis.
Well, that's because medical doctors have no training whatsoever in the reality of adrenal exhaustion.
Thank you.
What's a pseudo-diagnosis? What, a system that's not functioning properly, that's exhausted, that's out of balance? That's a pseudo-diagnosis because it's not a full-blown disease process. You know, a medical model only sees most conditions when they're full-blown organic destruction of an organ.
Mm-hmm. This is another point that... Oh, I have another call. One moment. Dr. Selman, could you spell your name, and are your books available everywhere?
Okay, let me spell my name. So it's Selman, S-E-L-L-M-A-N. My website is What Women Must Know. I have a Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know, with great tips and information and articles. My books are available, obviously, on Amazon, or you can go to my website, because I have special deals on my books there, at What Women Must Know. And I have two weekly radio shows on women's health, so we address all these things with leading experts and practitioners and authors and wise elders. And all you need to do is go to my homepage of What Women Must Know. All my archives are up there. Or if you opt in on my website to my newsletter, then my radio shows get sent out every week to all my subscribers. And by the way, I am starting a 6-week free audio series of in-depth interviews regarding the Gardasil vaccine issue.
Oh.
And it's an expose, because that's been sold to us with a bunch of lies, and our daughters and granddaughters are being seriously harmed by it. So that's a free 6-week audio series, and just sign up to my newsletter or visit it on Facebook.
And that made me very concerned about that presidential candidate, Rick Perry, because he was the one promoting the mandatory use of that vaccine.
Yeah, you know, he did that, and then his politics got it reversed, not because they thought it was a bad idea, just because of political rivalry. But I'm more concerned about the trend that's happening in California, where Governor Brown just signed a bill that allows 11, 12-year-old girls to get the Gardasil vaccine without consent of their parents.
Oh, I hadn't heard about that.
That was just signed into law in California, and if that's coming your way, you better be alarmed.
Uh-huh. Well, another part of the interview for today that I wanted to ask you about is, how do the hormones affect bone health? But we have about a minute left, so I'd love to have you back again sometime.
You know, that's a great topic, because there's a lot to be said, and all I want to say is bone health is a reflection of overall health of the body. It's not separate.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to address at the root cause level, and we can heal and repair bones at any age. And Fosamax and those drugs destroy bone. They don't heal them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll leave you on that note.
Okay.
But, you know, it's been a pleasure. Look, there's so much to talk about, so much important information that women have, and men have, the right to have access to. And my big belief is, get informed, get empowered, and get the knowledge that lets you make your own informed decisions.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us this morning.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.